Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Krishna Gaur Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare 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 Hare
Right from 4th canto to the 4th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam chapter text 10 Jagaha
Jagaha
Samasha
Samasha
Upanaya
Upanaya
Vira
Vira
Viva
Viva
Visha
Visham
Duma
Duma
Pata
Pata
Shrama
Shrama
Smayam
Smayam
Swa
Swa
Desa
Desa
Bhuta
Bhuta
Ganan
Ganan
Samuttitam
Samuttitam
Nidrusha
Nidrusha
Devi
Devi
Jagato
Jagato
Visrindvata
Visrindvata
Jagarha Samarsha Vipanaya Gira
Jagarha Samarsha Vipanaya Gira
Sivadvisham Duma Patas Samasmayam
Sivadvisham Duma Patas Samasmayam
Tejasa Bhuta Ganan Samuttitan
Svateja Bhuta Ganan Samuttitan
Grihad Devi Jagato Vishnupataha
Vikruha Devi Jagato Vishnupataha
Jagatha Samarsha Vipanaya Gira
Jagatha Samarsha Vipanaya Gira
Shivadisham Duma Patashamasmayam
Shivadisham Duma Patashamasmayam
Svateja
Bhuta Ganan Samuttitan
Nigruhya
Devi Jagato Vishnupataha Jagarha Samarsha Vipanya Gidam Shivadisham Duma Patashramasmayam Svateja Bhuta Ganan Samuttitan Nigruhya Devi Jagato Vishnupataha Svateja Bhuta Ganan Samuttitan
निग्रहैर्जगतोऽभिशृण्वदः
enemy of Lord Shiva,
enemy of Lord Shiva,
Dhumapata,
sacrifices,
Shrama,
troubles,
Mayam.
Mayam,
very proud,
Svatejasa,
by her order,
Bhutaganam,
the ghost, Samutpitam,
ready,
Nigriha,
stop,
Devi,
Sati,
Jagata,
in the presence of all,
Abhishrinvata,
being heard.
Translation followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, are ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful, and with that mood she began to condemn the process of sacrificial food of activities and persons who were very proud of unnecessary and troublesome sacrifices. She especially condemned her father, speaking against him in the presence of all. The process of offering sacrifices is especially meant to satisfy Vishnu, who is called Yagyesha, because he is the enjoyer of the fruits of sacrifice. Bhagavad Gita also confirms this fact. The Lord says, Bhoktaramyagatapasam, he is the actual beneficiary of all sacrifices. Not knowing this fact, less intelligent men offer sacrifices to some for some material benefit. To derive personal benefit, material benefits from sense gratification is the reason persons like Daksha and his followers perform sacrifices. Such sacrifices are condemned here as a labor of love without actual profit. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. One may prosecute the Vedic injunctions of offering sacrifices and other fruit activities, but if by such activities one does not develop attraction for Vishnu, they are useless labors. One who has developed love for Vishnu must develop love and respect for Vishnu's devotees. Lord Shiva is considered the most foremost personality among the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu. Thus, when Sati saw that her father was performing great sacrifices but had no respect for the greatest devotee Lord Shiva, she was very angry. This is fitting when Vishnu or a Vaishnava is insulted and wants to be angry. Lord Chaitanya, who always preached non-violence, meekness, and humility, also became angry when Nityananda was offended by Jagai and Madai, and he wanted to kill them. When Vishnu or a Vaishnava is blasphemed or dishonored, one should be very angry. Narottam Das Thakur has said, Krodha Bhakti Dvesha Jane. We have anger, and that anger can be a great quality when directed against a person who is envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee. One should not be tolerant when a person is offensive towards Vishnu or a Vaishnava. The anger of Sati towards the father was not objectionable, for although he was her father, he was trying to insult the greatest Vaishnava. Thus, Sati's anger against her father was quite laudable. The Blessed God has said, Lord Shiva is the most beloved of all living entities. He has no rival. No one is very dear to him, and no one is his enemy. No one but you can be envious of such a universal being who is free from all enmity. Her part in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, I am equal to all living entities. Similarly, Lord Shiva is a qualitative incarnation of the Supreme Personality of God, so he has almost the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is equal to everyone. No one is his enemy and no one is his friend, but one who is envious by nature can become the enemy of Lord Shiva. Therefore, Sati accused her father, no one but you could be envious of Lord Shiva or be his enemy. Other sages and learned Brahmanas were present, but they were not envious of Lord Shiva, although they were all dependent on Daksha. Therefore, no one but Daksha could be envious of Lord Shiva. That was the accusation of Sati. Vaisparan Daksha, a man like you, can simply find fault in qualities of others. Lord Shiva, however, not only finds no fault with those qualities, but if someone has a little good quality, he magnifies it greatly. Unfortunately, you have found fault with such a great soul. Therefore, King Daksha is addressed here by his daughter as Dvija Vaisparan. Vaisparan refers to the higher class of men, namely Brahmins, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. In other words, a dvija is not an ordinary man, but one who has studied the Vedic literature from a spiritual master and can discriminate between good and bad. Therefore, suppose that he understands logic and philosophy. Sati's daughter, Daksha's daughter, put before him sound arguments. There are some highly qualified persons who accept only the good qualities of others. Just as a bee is always interested in the honey and the flower and does not consider the thorns and colors, highly qualified persons who are uncommon accept only the good qualities of others, not considering their bad qualities, whereas a common man can judge what are good qualities and what are bad qualities. Among the uncommonly good souls, there are still gradations, and the best good soul is one who accepts an insignificant asset of a person and magnifies that good quality. Lord Shiva is also called Asutosha, which refers to one who is satisfied very easily and who offers to any person the highest level of benediction. For example, once a devotee of Lord Shiva wanted the benediction that whenever he touched someone on the head, that person's head would at once be separated from his trunk. Lord Shiva agreed. Although the benediction asked was not very commendable because the devotee wanted to kill his enemy, Lord Shiva considered the devotee's good quality in worshipping and satisfied him and granted the benediction. Thus, Lord Shiva accepted his bad qualities as magnificently good qualities. But Sati accused the father, you are just the opposite. Although Lord Shiva has so many good qualities and no bad qualities at all, you have accepted them as bad and found fault with them. Because of your accepting his good qualities to be bad, instead of your becoming the most exalted soul, you have become the most fallen. A man becomes the greatest soul by accepting the goodness of others' qualities, but by unnecessarily considering others' good qualities to be bad, you have become the lowest of the fallen souls. Translation: the followers of Lord Shiva, the ghosts, are ready to injure or kill Daksha, but Sati stopped them by her order. She was very angry and sorrowful, and that moment she began to condemn the process of sacrificial fruit of activities and persons who are very proud of such unnecessary and troublesome activities. Especially condemned her father, speaking against him in the presence of all. Here we see the anger of Sati expressed in her words. So she begins to criticize her father because he is attached to these material sacrifices. Of course, her followers want to attack Daksha, but she prevents them. And instead, she only uses words. She criticizes Lord Shiva as being interested only in material benefits. He is attached to these sacrifices for material reasons. And at the same time, he cannot understand the good qualities of Lord Shiva. Sati begins to praise Lord Shiva as being equal to all. He has no friend, he has no enemy. That doesn't mean that he doesn't like anybody, but that means that he doesn't show unnecessary favoritism one way or the other. At the same time, we see he is called Asutosh. So he is actually pleased with those who worship him. But in general, he shows no special favors. So he doesn't indiscriminately show hatred towards a particular person or show favoritism. But if someone worships him, he becomes very merciful towards them. Just as Krishna also says, "Everyone, I'm equal to everyone, but one who's my devotee, he is very dear to me." So the same applies to Lord Shiva. In general, he is equal to all and does not hate anybody or favor anybody. But if someone worships him, then he shows special favor towards him. If such a person exists who is so favorable towards people when they worship him, this also can be a cause of problem, as we see in the case of Lord Shiva. So he is called Asutosh, or very easily pleased. So often the demons will worship him to get quick benedictions. So the case of the demon who asked for a benediction to touch anybody and their head would fall off, that's a benediction that he gave. So this of course is problematic, and we see other persons also use demons to give benedictions to. This of course does not negate the quality of Lord Shiva. He's described here as not seeing fault and rather seeing good qualities. So therefore, if he sees good qualities in a person, then he gives mercy to them without seeing the fault. However, this sometimes backfires in the case of demons, because they will use whatever benedictions they get for wrong purposes. So though one can be very merciful to everybody, one should also consider qualification. So it is good to see the good qualities and not the bad qualities, but at the same time, there is some discrimination. So, therefore, we see that there are rules in the Vedas. The sutras cannot be taught the Vedas. So we say, well, the system is not very merciful to the sutras, but they cannot be taught the Vedas because they are not qualified. And so that there is seeing the fault, we could say the fault of the person, and then based on the fault he is disbarred from studying the Vedas. There are cases where qualification is necessary. So in one sense, the person doesn't have a qualification, he has the fault, and therefore he is barred from particular activities. And we'll see that all through the Vedic system. Generally there are rules, and if one does not come up with the standard, one cannot do the activity. So there is some idea of seeing particular faults, so-called faults. That definitely is there, that in the sense of qualification. We have to see who is qualified and who is not qualified. At the same time, we should not unnecessarily find faults and say, that person is not qualified, and use some strange excuse to disqualify them. So the rule of qualification has to be applied quite fairly, not with prejudice. Then it becomes a case of fault finding, and this is also condemned. So yes, qualification is necessary. At the same time, we cannot be too strict and disqualify everybody by finding little faults here and there. So one has to find a balance between the two things. So Lord Shiva here is praised by Sati as seeing the good qualities and not seeing the bad qualities. This is particularly apt for Lord Shiva because he is in charge of the people in Tamagun, and they have more bad qualities than the people in Rajagun or Sattvagun. So he has to take care of them. So he has to overlook all the tamasic problems they have. And he has to look for something good and encourage it. So Shiva has a little bit of a problem here, because he has to show mercy to the unqualified people, and he has to somehow see some good quality in them. So what is the quality of these people? At least they worship Shiva, who is a form of the Supreme Lord. So that's a good quality. At least they're doing worship, and his worship also is approved by the Vedic literature. So if they do that worship properly, then that's a good quality. So then he should be merciful to them and be pleased. But as I said, there is the negative side of that, is sometimes these demons will misuse the benedictions they give, and it backfires somehow or other. So that is the negative side of this. Nevertheless, he has his duty of somehow being merciful to the people in Tamagun. So he has to overlook the faults and try to find some good quality in them. The Vaishnava is like that. Of course, Shiva is a Vaishnava. So the same quality will be there in the Vaishnava. He does not look for faults. He likes to see good qualities. And this is also a quality in the Supreme Lord. He likes to see good qualities, in spite of the faults. Therefore, we'll have cases like the deliverance of Putana. Generally, we'll say the demons are condemned because they try to kill Krishna. Krishna sees a good quality in Putana, that she was offering service to him. Therefore, he gave her a place in the spiritual world. So Krishna also sees the good quality in spite of all the bad qualities. So we have many cases of that with the different types of demons like Shishupala and others. He sees a good quality and then he will give them some benediction based on that. Supreme Lord also has this quality. Devotees also have this quality. Not only the devotees have this quality, but the process of bhakti has this quality also. And therefore, bhakti does not look for high qualification in terms of varna or ashram or anything. Anybody who has a little faith is qualified for the name. The process of bhakti is open for everybody also. It's very, very merciful. Within that, we have a little qualification, one should have faith. But other qualifications are not there. So in this sense, bhakti is the most merciful process. And it doesn't see the faults, and it sees the good quality of a little faith. Then people are allowed to practice this process. And the same with the devotees. The devotees are also merciful, and they are not looking for faults. If they find a little bit of faith, they try to encourage that in a person and help that develop. So therefore, they are not interested in the external qualifications of varna and ashrama, such as high birth or education, etc. Instead, if anyone has a little bit of faith, they try to encourage that. And that's in spite of whatever position they're in the material world. So therefore, the devotees like to deliver even the most fallen persons. And a nice example of that is Nityananda and Haridas, who were merciful to Jagai and Madai. Though they didn't deserve any type of mercy, they were trying to encourage them to take up the chanting of the name of the Supreme Lord. They see without fault finding at all. So that is the nature of the Vaishnava. But, as I said, there is a slight qualification. Therefore, in giving out mercy, one has to also discriminate. One cannot preach to the faithless persons. This is one thing. This is that happening. So we have to be careful how we act towards the demons in the material world. If people have a little faith, yes, we preach to them. If they don't have faith, we have to act in another way. So we have to use our intelligence in our preaching strategy. We cannot treat everybody the same. So we have to have discrimination. Though we like to be merciful to everybody without discrimination, still we have to do that in a certain way. So we can give teachings to those who have faith. Those who have no faith, then we can give mercy by exposing them to bhakti in different ways without giving them the teachings. So they can take prasadam or hear the name or see the deity, etc. But that's as far as we go with them. So therefore we have to judge very carefully how we give out mercy to the people. According to qualification, there is a little difference there, so that we don't commit aparad. So that is a consideration we take.
ग्रंथराज श्री श्रीमद्भागवत की जय। ஆ அதான் சொல்லுங்க.